And we're glad to be with you and have this opportunity of opening the scriptures, and we trust that it might be a help to each one. Now, on last Lord's Day, we spoke in relation to the believer as a sheep in the flock. And just to say a little word now in relation to the believer as a stone in the building. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the same, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now that's all we want to read with the Lord's blessing. It is significant that Peter writes about the believer as being a living stone, because he himself was described as a stone. You remember that when Andrew brought his own brother Simon to Jesus way back in John 1 verse 42, I think, thereabouts. And you remember that the Lord Jesus said to him that thy name shall be called no more as Simon, but Cephas. So his name was changed to Cephas. And of course, that name means a stone. In fact, there can be the idea of a little stone, a small stone, a movable stone. And so his name was changed to Cephas, a stone. It's interesting that he is the one that writes of the believer, you and I, as being living stones. Now, just very simply, first of all, just to refer to the Lord Jesus, because as you'll notice, he says here in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone. And I think the idea is to keep on coming unto him who is the living stone. I just want to underscore that in verse 4, he refers to the Lord as a stone. He refers to it again in verse 6, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. And you'll notice again in verse 7, at the end of the verse, the stone which the builders disallowed. So three times over, he makes reference in relation to the Lord Jesus as being a stone. I think that's significant. Peter says, first of all, to whom coming as unto a living stone? I want you to think of the Lord Jesus then, firstly, as a living stone in resurrection. You see, Peter was absolutely sure that the Lord was living. You remember that when the Lord Jesus rose again, and you recall how he said to those women who were early at the tomb, you remember he said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. How kind of the Lord as he thought about Peter. But he not only that day said to mention to Peter, but on that very same day, the Lord appeared to Peter. Isn't that interesting? You know, I take it there may be difference of thought, but that there are 13 appearings of the Lord Jesus after he rose again. And one of them was to Peter. You remember the two on the Emmaus Road when they came back to Jerusalem and to the disciples, and they said, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. The Lord appeared to Peter personally. A private, personal appearing of the Lord Jesus to Peter, who had denied him, as you know, and who had gone out that night and wept bitterly. But how gracious of the Lord that he appeared to him in that personal, private, individual way. You know, dear believer, today, it's always good to know that there's grace to start again. You know, the Bible, in our New Testament, how often we are brought to think of that great truth of the grace of God. And we think of the grace that saves, and we're all glad about that. But never forget, there's always grace to start again. And for Peter there was. And for many, many more there has been and will be. And so Peter says, to whom coming as unto a living stone? So he is a living stone in verse 4 in resurrection. I want you to think of that. A living stone in resurrection. But then when you come to verse 6, I have written under this that he is a laid stone. A laid stone in foundation. So he's a living stone in resurrection. He's a laid stone in foundation. And Peter here quotes, of course, from the Old Testament, from Isaiah and chapter 28 and verse 16, where it says, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. So he's a laid stone in foundation. Zion, what a term that has become. You know, that term Zion, I lay in Zion for a foundation. Zion, historically, in the Old Testament, that it refers to Jerusalem. And of course, spiritually, we sing of it, don't we? And it has become something in relation to the believers down through the years as a picture of heaven. And we sometimes sing, we're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. So Zion, the thought of Zion, I lay in Zion, historically referring to Jerusalem, spiritually for the believers as we think of heaven, but then prophetically, Zion. You remember Psalm number 2. He says, behold, he says, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. You see, there's a day that's coming when the King, the Lord Jesus, will reign in Zion, that holy hill. Jerusalem will become the capital of the world. Now, that may not sound very relevant or very good to many in our world today as they think of the great cities of the world like New York and London or Paris or Tokyo or wherever. But the fact is this, that one day Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And so we have the Lord Jesus as a living stone in resurrection, a laid stone in foundation. Now, if you think of the laid stone, the foundation, he is the rock of our security. Isn't it that we read in the Ephesian epistle and also in the Corinthian letter where Paul says, built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, of course, the apostles there are the 12. The prophets are not the Old Testament prophets, but rather they are what were the New Testament prophets as we have them in our New Testament. So the apostles and prophets, built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So in this laid stone and foundation, there is security. There's not only security, but going over this very briefly, there is unity. You see, the cornerstone was very important. At times, old dwellings in Ireland or in the UK, houses that were built 200-300 and more years ago, the cornerstone was all important. And many times I've looked at a cornerstone. And the cornerstone, it really brought two walls together, you see. If you think of the cornerstone, and from it they went out with a wall that way and that way. And so in the cornerstone, there is the thought not only of security, but the thought of unity. And how lovely that is when we think of the Lord Jesus. You know, their Bible says that in him there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And the two walls, as it were, that he has brought together, Jew and Gentile. If you read Ephesians chapter 2, it's just interesting. If you read it and look at it, you'll notice that in that chapter, I think it's five times over, you have the word together. Together. And that word together there means Jew and Gentile. Together. Paul tells us that we've been quickened together and raised together and seated together and builded together and framed together. Five times you get the emphasis on the word together. And so he is the cornerstone. The thought of unity. The thought of uniting in himself by the grace of God. Jew and Gentile in one body, in one building. But there's not just the thought of security, but there is, and the thought of unity. But could I mention this? There's the thought of conformity. Conformity. You see, that cornerstone, when it is laid, from that cornerstone, the measurements are taken. From it, they use the line and the plumb. And the stones that are set in the wall going that way or that way, they are set in line with and in view of the cornerstone. And so, those stones are set in conformity with the cornerstone. The line and the plumb are taken from the cornerstone. Is there not something there for us all? You know, Paul says that we might be conformed to the image of his dear Son. In Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Oh, the reality of it, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God by the renewing of your minds. You know, dear believer, the mind and the renewing of your mind and what goes into our minds is all important. What we think upon, what we meditate upon, what we imbibe, what we embrace into our minds and into our hearts. So we have the thought of conformity. Then verse 7, he speaks about the stone again. He says, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So here we have not only a living stone in verse 4, a laid stone in verse 6, but we have a located stone in exaltation in verse 7. Where he says, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You know, it's interesting that the Lord Jesus is referred to as the stone whom men set aside. Four different words are used. It's spoken of prophetically in Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner, and this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. So in Psalm 118, as the stone he is spoken of as being refused. The Lord Jesus quotes this in Matthew 21 and verse 42, where he says, the stone which the builders rejected. He uses the word rejected, has become the head of the corner. But Peter, if you remember Peter, again he speaks about the stone when he's preaching in Acts chapter 4, and he says, the stone, he says, which was set at naught of you builders. That was the Jewish hierarchy of the day. They set him at naught. You see, he didn't fit into their plans. He didn't fit into their great big religion. And so they set him at naught. And you know, today he still doesn't fit in. And the incredible thing is that religions of the world, he still doesn't fit in. And they still do the same. They set him at naught. And sometimes, you know, great religious bodies that meet, they do everything but refer to the Bible. And they do everything and they speak about everything and anything but Christ. But here, Peter says that disallowed, the stone which the builders disallowed. So there's those four different words that are used: refused, rejected, set at naught, disallowed. Ah, but he says, how lovely this is. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You know, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. There's much more we could say in that. Many, you see, man in rejection and in refusal of him, they crowned him with thorns. But God in exaltation has crowned him with glory and honor. And so we have a located stone in exaltation. But what 15 minutes in relation to the Christian as a stone, you see. The Lord, Paul says, or Peter says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. But then he says, verse 5, ye also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house. So the first thing about these stones, could I suggest, as regards believers, that they are unique because they're living. God made stones, didn't he? Man made bricks. But stones were first, weren't they? Bricks were man's invention. I remember speaking a little bit about this on one occasion way down by the Mourne Mountains, where a lot of the men there are masons and they work with stones. And it has been that for generations that the men in that part of the Mourne Mountains, they work a lot with stones. And that night, a dear brother who's now with the Lord, you know, he was quick to point out to me at the close of the meeting, my, he says, you know, you can put a shine on a stone, but you can't put a shine on a brick. You see, you can shape a stone, but if you try to shape a brick, you'll not get on too well. It'll crumble. Living stones. A living stone. So Peter says, ye also as living stones. Something that's unique. Now, I'm sure you'd agree with me that there's nothing as dead as a stone. Is that right? Right. There's nothing as dead as a stone. You know, you'll get no life in a stone. If you took a sledgehammer to a stone and split it open, there's nothing there. There's no life in a stone. Now, there's life in trees, all right. There's life in wood. There's insects. There's animals that live. You see, there's no life in a stone. You can get life on a stone. There's all types of mosses that grow and insects that live on a stone. But there's nothing in a stone. There's no life in a stone. There's nothing as dead as a stone, but Peter says you're living stones. You know, it's an incredible thing, isn't it, that we are living stones. They used to tell us, you know, that there was only one real living stone. And that was David Livingstone. But we're all living stones. He says, ye also, he says, as living stones. Now, if you could think of the fact of a quarry of rock, stone. How do you get the stones out of that quarry? It takes explosives. And if you take the whole world as dead in sins, like a quarry, how do you get those stones out of the quarry of this world that's dead in sin? Well, Paul says, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And the word is dynamite. He says, it's the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so it's the power of the gospel, the dynamite of the gospel, that will take those that are dead out of the quarry of this world and give them life. It's a great thing to have divine life, isn't it? It's a great thing to have spiritual life. And so these stones are unique in that they are living. They have been lifted. They have been taken out of that quarry of the world dead in sin. And they are linked with Christ. And we have been given life. And John says, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Because we're linked with him, we've got life. It's a big thing, you know, to have spiritual life. I know we take it for granted at times, maybe, speaking to my own heart first. But I'll tell you, it is a tremendous thing to have the life of God in your soul and to have divine life. And to have a spiritual aptitude in relation to the Word of God and the things of God, and to have that life that you desire to feed and to feed the new man. And earlier in the chapter, you know, Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So these stones are unique. Number two, they're united. He says, are built up a spiritual house in verse 5. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. Isn't that tremendous? A temple. Because that's the idea, isn't it? Where Paul speaks about, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And my, the Bible refers to us again in Corinthians that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And so, here we are built up a spiritual house, a temple unto God. Our bodies individually are temples of the Holy Spirit, and the church and the believers collectively are a temple. Now, Solomon built a temple, and God dwelt in it beyond the veil. Isn't it a tremendous thought to think that there was a temple, physical temple, in the Old Testament? But now there's a temple of God, spiritual. My, built up by living stones, those who have been linked to the one who is the life himself, and we are built up a spiritual house. So they're united, they're built up. To be indwelt by the Spirit of God. You know, the Lord Jesus in John 17, his great prayer was that they all might be one. That they all might be one. They will all be one someday. But you know, dear believers, today, and it's no different in Canada than it is in Ireland, there is nothing can equal or better believers, Christians, dwelling together in unity. Behold how good, Psalm 133, and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I am not here to say anything else, but just to simply state that there is a strength in unity, and there is a blessing when the people of God are united that God will honor. These stones are unique. They're united. But lastly, they're useful. They're useful. You see, he says, they are built up. He says, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up. Built up to offer up. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, I've already said that In the Old Testament, there was a temple, Solomon's and so on. And now we're the temple. Ah, but in the temple, there was a priesthood. But we're the priesthood as well. We're not only the temple, but we're the priesthood as well. And he says here that are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. They had sacrifices in the temple, of course they did. Lambs and bullocks and goats and all the rest of it. All that's gone, we know that. But there's still sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. There's still a temple. There's still a priesthood. There's still sacrifices. But it's all spiritual. And we are the temple and we are the priests in the temple. And we are exhorted to offer up spiritual sacrifices. By him, therefore, Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 13, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his, to his name. Hebrews 13 and 5. The fruit of our lips, as we've quoted, the fruit of our lives, Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and meekness and so on. The fruit of our labors, Philippians 1. Paul says there in verse 22, this is the fruit of my labor. So we offer, don't we? You know, we sing that hymn, some offering bring thee now, something for thee. To offer persons, Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your worshipful service. I'm finished now. We offer persons. We offer praises. We've already mentioned that. Hebrews 13, 5. We offer possessions, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We're living stones. We're a holy priesthood to offer up. I'm not going to mention it, but you know, you'll see there in verse 9 that we're a royal priesthood. A holy priesthood. We go in to worship. A royal priesthood, we go out to witness. Living stones. Well, there is more than David Livingstone. We're all living stones. May we not only enjoy what it is to be built up, but to offer up, shall we pray. Lord, we